Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, these numbers from our northern border are just staggering when you look at these numbers. So we've talked about this before. There's about 1,000 illegal aliens in Montana, according to federal officials. That was the number they briefed Governor Greg Gianforte. They said there's about 1,000 illegal aliens in Montana, with the bulk of them in Gallatin County. But how many more could there potentially be, or how many more would there have been if it weren't for Border Patrol at least putting up some kind of a fight over the last 4 years? Let's just look at the last 2 years alone. Fentanyl and terrorists are still coming into the U.S. across the northern border, according to a Fox News report. Now, Center Square had another report here showing how Montana is one of the states experiencing a most porous border. They reported here that over a two-plus-year period, Montana experienced 30,474 apprehensions. U.S. officials are also concerned about the ease with which terrorists are crossing into the country, even though the southern border has been closed. Coming up on Friday's show, we've got Attorney General Austin Knutson. He's, of course, been, you know, staying up to speed with our northern border security situation. And right now, as we speak, he is alongside several attorneys general from across the country at the southern border today. And I know he's bringing up the northern border while he's there with these AGs at the southern border. But yeah, anyway, Attorney General Austin Knutson on the ground. I haven't seen this talked about anywhere else yet. But he is on the ground on the southern border today and tomorrow, as I understand it. And then Friday, he's going to join us right here on Montana Talks. He's going to be with us for the full hour, taking your phone calls and more. So we'll not only talk border security, criminal illegal aliens in the state, but a whole bunch of other big topics that we can get to with him. Today, later on in the show, we've got a great guest joining us. I think it's safe to say that this is the first big year for Montana baseball, for high school baseball. Yeah, we've had great Legion baseball programs over the years, but really, I think it's safe to say, would you agree, Caden, that this is the first big year for baseball and the all-class state baseball tournament? All-class. There's no class AA, A, B, C. All-class state baseball tournament kicks off tomorrow, Hamilton, Montana. We've got a great guest joining us from the Montana High School Association coming up in the second half of the show today. First, though, we've got the phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Yeah, baseball, first game, game one, Thursday, 10 a.m., Columbia Falls against Billings Central. Game two, Billings West against Frenchtown. Game three, Billings Skyview versus Hamilton, and then Missoula Big Sky versus Belgrade for game four. We'll talk about all that and more later on in the hour.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, now I really want to just tune into the Marco Rubio hearing on the House side of Capitol Hill. I was checking my emails during the break there. I shot a note to Congressman Troy Downing and Congressman Ryan Zinke's offices to see if either of them could call into the show this morning, especially yesterday. President Trump was on Capitol Hill. He was meeting with House Republicans, and I heard from Congressman Troy Downing. He said it was just hysterical. President Trump was like doing stand-up comedy. Everybody had a great time, and it was a significant boost to this one big, beautiful bill. which has got so many great things that are already included in this deal, including the largest tax cut in American history. It makes the tax cuts permanent. It finishes President Trump's border wall. It delivers big, beautiful deportations. Historic tax relief to Social Security recipients. Kicks illegal aliens off of Medicaid. Ends the Green New scam. And so much more. But the reason why I want to go listen to this Marco Rubio hearing, because he was on fire yesterday. Democrat Senator Chris Van Hollen, he's the Democrat senator from Maryland who traveled all the way down to El Salvador to have that fancy lunch with that MS-13 gangbanger thug, Kilmore Abrego Garcia. Anyway, I'm sure Marco Rubio's feelings were really hurt when Chris Van Hollen told Marco Rubio that he regrets voting for him as Secretary of State. Listen to part of this great back and forth as Secretary of State Marco Rubio was before the Senate committee yesterday.
I have to tell you directly and personally that I regret voting for you for Secretary of State. I yield back.
May I respond?
You may, sir.
Well, first of all, your regret for voting for me confirms I'm doing a good job, based on what I know.
Well, that's just a flippant statement, Mr. Secretary.
Can I respond, Mr. Chairman?
You
Mr.
may.
I didn't ask.
Senator,
please let the Secretary.
I'd be happy to, but then I can respond to his.
Your time is up, Senator, and willfully used, I might add.
Well,
your remarks do not represent the view of this committee.
Anyway, then it was just led to a great four-minute back and forth where Rubio laid out the wasteful spending the Democrat senators like Chris Van Hollen were supporting, you know, like the transgender mutilation surgeries in other countries, all these crazy things that you and I were paying for. RFK Jr. had a great back and forth with Washington Senator Patty Murray as well. She was trying to stand in the way of the Make America Healthy Again agenda, and RFK Jr. straight up called her out. You know, what have you done, Senator?
You presided here, I think, for 32 years. You presided over the destruction of the health of the American people.
Well, I have
our people are now the sickest
Secretary,
people in the world.
Seriously.
Because you have
Mr.
not done
Secretary,
your job.
Seriously. That is an
what have you done about it? What have you done
Secretary,
about the epidemic of chronic
ask,
disease?
Mr. Secretary,
what
you
have
are
you done about the epidemic
Mr.
of
Secretary.
Chronic disease?
Yeah, of course, she doesn't want to be held accountable for her failures and for the system she created. But instead, she wants to block progress. She wants to block the Make America Healthy agenda, which, by the way, is a great pro-Montana farmer and rancher agenda as well. Okay, phone lines are open for you, 294-0970. One of the big sticking points in this one big, beautiful bill is, of course, you know, the justified concerns over government spending. Chris in Columbia Falls, what did you want to say about government spending? Thanks for the call.
Government spending, you know, where did the term pork barrel come in? Remember the term was used back in the 1800s. That's when they shipped pork in barrels. And people would just reach in there and take any time they felt like they kept taking it. And now, you know, where that's come from, you know, it's turned into an addiction now. Most politicians, and that's why you have these programs now that are trying to restructure that process, you know. I hate to throw a wet blanket on it here. You know, your listener, I mean, someone you had on there earlier talked about tax fraud and abuse. Well, what is property tax? I'm a little disappointed in that one.
Yeah.
So I wish they would go back there and understand that next week I got to take a little bit of money and stick it back in the property tax thing. It's a little disappointing, you know, because they could have done some compromise there, which they didn't do. I mean, I compromised with my doctor this week, you know, on a subject, and he gladly went along with it. So, I mean, that.
So for residential property taxpayers, if you just own one, you know, primary residence, you should see property tax relief as long as the cities and the counties don't come in and snag, you know, most of that back.
It has all these little hooks in it. You know, I mean, it depends on what it is. So, I mean, I'm not going to get it. I know some friends that that are going to get it. So, I mean, there's an old saying, just because you can, should you? So there's a lot of programs they're reaching into and giving, you know, and saying, well, we can do this, you know. I got a little subject here. I'm going to go cancel my Dish network because, you know, I've had it with them people.
So just another way to cut back your own personal spending. Yeah. The spending, interesting, when it comes to this one big, beautiful bill, Russ Vought, I think it is, who's a budget director for President Trump, he says that this one big, beautiful bill will provide the largest mandatory savings reform since 1997. But I think we'd all agree that more can and should still be done in terms of reining in the massive federal government spending. But, yeah, Chris, thanks for the call. We've got Ken in the Billings Heights up next right after this, and phone lines open for you as well. 406-294-0970.
Securing America.
Once fully operational, President Trump says the Golden Dome will be capable of intercepting missiles fired from around the world or launched from space.
It's a pretty evil world out there, so this is something that goes a long way toward the survival of this great country.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth calls the system a game changer.
It's a generational investment in the security of America and Americans.
President Trump says he's allocating $25 billion as initial funding in the reconciliation package being negotiated by Republicans. He says the full project will total $175 billion and will be operational in about 3 years. But the Congressional Budget Office projects a much larger cost over the next few decades. Military leaders and policymakers have warned about emerging threats from hypersonic and space-based weapons from adversaries like Russia and China. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, hey, great time for you to call in, 406-294-0970. I've got a few random things I want to talk about. What about this Golden Dome? Have you heard President Trump talking about the Golden Dome? Apparently, funding for the Golden Dome to protect America is also included in the latest draft of this one big, beautiful bill back in Washington, D.C. I've got some audio to go with that. We can share here in a second. And then, man, Jesse Waters had a great segment last night. Joe Biden and this massive scandal, this massive cover-up regarding his cancer diagnosis and the true cognitive abilities and the true medical conditions that were plaguing the president of the United States, who, you know, had his a hand on the nuclear codes and so much more. Who was really running the show? But now all of these journalists out there clutching their pearls, pretending to be so shocked at what we now know. We saw it in real time. It was great the way John Stewart from The Daily Show, you know, he's a far left guy, he's a liberal guy, but he is funny. And he just tore into CNN for promoting this book about Joe Biden, you know, acting like somehow this is now news when we all saw it with our very own eyes. I'll play at least one or two clips from Jesse Waters' segment last night. First, though, let's go into the phone lines. We've got Ken in the Billings Heights. Ken, you wanted to talk about Representative Braxton Mitchell, great young man out of Columbia Falls, Montana. He got 19 bills signed into law this legislative session. What's your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, my thoughts on him was, I believe that he's headed in the right direction. This man's got a lot of moxie, and he looked behind the doors to talk all this communist money coming into the state to promote all of these radical, whatever you want to call them, bills, especially on the Democratic side. I mean, what's going on with these people? Why don't we put him in charge and let him start some kind of an investigation and get these people out of there, or, you know, arrest them and put them in prison or something for treason? I mean, this is ridiculous.
He's
only 24 years old. He's only 24 years old, and look at everything he got done and got across the finish line. A ban on red flag laws. He had a ban on this fake meat, this so-called lab-grown meat, this fake phony Franken meat stuff. He got that ban across the finish line.
I know.
A lot of great stuff.
Yeah, people don't realize, you know, that if we don't pass this big, beautiful bill, if you think that people's got problems right now with paying taxes and the cost of food, you'd be paying $10 for an apple.
Well, that's right. The biggest driver of inflation over the last 4 years was massive federal government spending. So if everybody is so concerned about the price of groceries and the price of everything, you've got to get behind one big, beautiful bill to rein in these prices, rein in this government spending, and then also to keep more money in our pockets by making the Trump tax cuts permanent and preventing the death tax from getting put back into place and so much more. Yeah, Ken, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Yeah, Representative Braxton Mitchell out of Columbia Falls. I was encouraged. Another thing that I heard from Representative Mitchell is he had a bill to ban foreigners from funding ballot initiative campaigns here in Montana. How outrageous is it that people like Hans-Jörg Wies and these left-wing foreign financiers are able to interfere in our elections here in Montana? He had a bill to block that from happening, to prevent that from happening. Now, unfortunately, it got watered down by a handful of Republicans in the state Senate voting with the Democrats. But I was very encouraged when Representative Mitchell told me that he's been speaking with the Commissioner of Political Practices, and they still believe that the legislation will be effective in blocking these foreigners from interfering in our elections here in Montana. I mean, God, you thought the Copper Kings were bad. Hell, at least they were Americans. These modern-day Copper Kings, Hans-Jörg Wies, George Soros, these left-wing mega donors, they come in, they fund all these Democrat Party front groups, they fund the American Prairie Reserve that's kicking ranchers off the land, they fund all these phony environmental wacko groups that are kicking everybody else off the land, filing all these lawsuits that have destroyed our timber industry, destroyed so many great working-class jobs here in America. These foreign financiers are behind all of it. They should not be able to interfere in our elections. All right, back to that one big, beautiful bill. Yeah, it also includes funding for what President Trump is calling the Golden Dome.
Everybody, and Pete, go ahead.
Well, Mr. President, add this to the long and growing list of promises made and promises kept. Ultimately, this right here, the Golden Dome for America, is a game changer. It's a generational investment in the security of America and Americans. Mr. President, you said we're going to secure our southern border and get 100% operational control after the previous administration allowed an invasion of people into our country. President Reagan, 40 years ago, cast the vision for it. The technology wasn't there. Now it is, and you're following through to say we will protect the homeland from cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, hypersonic missiles, drones, whether they're conventional or nuclear. It's not lost on me, sir, also, that you had the vision to start the Space Force, and here we are when the others said we didn't need it, here we are in the Oval Office with one of the leaders of the Space Force in General Guetlein leading the charge on putting in place a game-changing Golden Dome for America. So, sir, it's an honor to be a part of this bold initiative. We're going to get to work on it. We have been since you signed that executive order on January 27th. We've been fast forward on this. We're here on this day, and this is just one stop in delivering this defense of the homeland, which is something you've charged us with doing, and we'll keep going until it is complete, sir.
Thank you, Pete. Pete's done a great job, by the way.
All right, there you go. That was Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth yesterday. That audio coming from the Trump War Room on X, American power, American safety, American security. That's what it's all about. Speaking of power, you need a little power in your day-to-day life. You need a little more energy, don't you? But you've also got some aches and pains. You know, you work hard, you play hard, you're going to get some aches and pains. But then again, you're going to get some aches and pains if you don't work, if you don't play. Just sitting on the couch, sometimes that can be worse for the pain, right? Well, let me tell you about Power Plus Pain Aid. This is an energizing pain reliever with natural vitamins and an energy drink that doesn't have all those chemicals in it. It's more like medicine. It's like energy, the power plus the pain aid. And it was all developed by a Big Fork, Montana Marine. Got to meet Lee. Great guy. Go to drinkpowerplus.com and you can take 15% off your orders by using the code FLINT15, 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 get 15% off your orders at drinkpowerplus.com. Secretary of Defense Hegseth there was talking about the previous regime and how they allowed this invasion of our country to take place. And then now we see what the Democrats are doing. They're trying to prevent the invaders from being sent back home. They allowed the invaders to invade this country, and now they don't want the invaders to be sent home. So who was really running the White House when Joe Biden was doing whatever Joe Biden did for 4 years, right? I don't know if you guys saw this. You guys know who Mark Halperin is? Well, if you don't know who he is, he's a liberal, you know, political journalist type guy. He was interviewing Joe Scarborough. Joe Scarborough is this Democrat Party hack on MSNBC. He's such a sellout. He's kind of like Mark Roscoe and Bob Brown and all these guys who, you know, they're just political hacks that are in it for the paycheck. But Mark Halperin, here's part of the back and forth with him and Joe Scarborough. Jesse Waters shared this last night, talking about Biden and the cover-up of his cancer diagnosis and more.
The media held back scoops, waited until Biden got couped, and then cashed in on book deals. But before the coup, they told you Biden was at the top of his game.
Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever.
Now Scarborough's a Biden denier.
Looking back at that, do you say, well, it was misleading to say best Biden ever without caveating it and say, except on the days when he's not the best Biden ever?
Well, but I never saw those days personally.
Well, you did, because you saw him address a dead congresswoman and you saw him in South Carolina. There were plenty of days in public when he was not the best Biden ever. And
well,
of course,
he stumbled and bumbled around, Mark. I mean, yeah,
give me a break. And by the way, why is he going with the Mark Cuban look? I don't know if you saw that video of him with Mark Halperin there. It's like, are both of you trying to be the body doubles for Rachel Maddow now? Like, what is the deal with the Rachel Maddow body doubles out there? Is it just an MSNBC thing where you just transition into looking like Rachel Maddow? Jon Stewart, you know, he's a leftist. He's a liberal just like they are, but he straight up called them out.
What they're doing now is pointing fingers and asking each other, what did you know? And when did you know it? Over something everybody else already knew.
The news is selling you a book about news they should have told you was news a year ago for free. It's just fun to watch them not only continue to push the book in light of this difficult news, but to actually frame this difficult news as perhaps even more of a reason to buy this book. I understand the excitement over an insidious Democratic cover-up about Joe Biden's mental decline. The thing is, though, it was a terrible cover-up because we all f***ing knew.
News anchors are profiting from not reporting the news.
Oh, man. Yeah, even now, CNN's like, well, we're going to tell you everything that we found out that you already knew 4 years ago, but we're going to tell you all about it next week. After you maybe buy our CNN anchor's book. It's just like the Russia collusion hoax. It's just like the way they lied to you about COVID-19. And then afterwards, oh, it may have come from China.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins has released a set of policy proposals under her newly launched Make Agriculture Great Again initiative. Her initial proposal are a comprehensive set of policy solutions aimed at improving the variability and longevity of smaller scale family farms for generations to come. About 86% of all U.S. farms and ranches are small family-run operations. And to ensure small family farms can start and stay in business, the USDA has outlined a toolkit of actions like streamlining application processes. The new policy agenda also includes solutions like ensuring simple, streamlined, and transparent tools and applications. It ensures reliable access to credit for small family operations. And one of the key proposals is to ensure small farms can be passed on to the next generation for generations to come. Another proposal would enhance access to risk management and business planning tools. USDA also wants to ensure the farm size definitions reflect modern-day realities. In other news, the U.S. and Vietnam have begun their second round of trade negotiations. The Vietnamese government is working to establish a new trade agreement that will help to evade a possible 46% tariff, a move that could destabilize its export-oriented growth model. Vietnam reported a trade surplus of over $123 billion with the U.S. in 2024. I'm Lane Northland.
Big topics, big ideas. Big Sky, Montana Talks.
Hey, we're going to talk baseball now. Yeah, it's great to have our producer, Caden Bjornstad, in the house. So this is going to be a little inside baseball for you here for a second. So it's kind of a different studio setup that we have here at our flagship station for Montana Talks. So the Montana Talks studio, we have the really cool big corner of the top floor of the DoubleTree Hotel in downtown Billings. And then there's a window connecting us to the next studio over, and that's kind of the production studio. That's the studio that the producer works from and feeds the show out. But Caden has now popped out of our producer, Caden Bjornstad, has popped out of his production studio, and he's actually joining me here in studio because he's going to jump in on the conversation here with a great guest that he helped line up for us here this morning. But Caden Bjornstad isn't just our great producer here for the show, but in his off time, he's also been working as an umpire here during the high school baseball season. And his dad, of course, has long time been an umpire as well. So it's just part of the family. But, Caden, good to have you here in studio. Thanks for all you do for the show, by the way, every day.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's great to actually be in here talking. So
yeah, well, it's funny because when you first came on board with the show, you know, you're like, well, I've never really been much of a news and a political and a talk guy. I'm more of a sports guy. And I was like, that's actually great because it's good to get a different perspective. And, hey, there's some big sports stories from time to time. So it'll be good to have somebody who can weigh in on that. And really, baseball, high school baseball, this really is kind of the it's not the first year of high school baseball. We've long had Legion baseball, but I know it's very exciting. This is really kind of the first big year for baseball, certainly in the Billings area, but really across the state of Montana.
Yeah, and as, like you just said, here in Billings, the Billings area, I mean, we got Skyview West and Senior, but then also Central. We had Laurel. We had Huntley. They're, you know, Columbus, the co-op with Red Lodge. They're all coming in this year. So, yeah, no, it's been really great. 35 teams total across the state playing this year, all in the same, you know, same division, same conference, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, only 8 spots available. It's tough to see that many teams go out, but you know, I think it's been a really successful year from what I've seen. I'm sure Scott Wilson has been very busy, you know, having 35 teams to look over, but yeah, no, exciting weekend this week in Hamilton.
How fun has it been for you at the front row seat as an umpire? Just what's it been like being an umpire in some of these games?
You know, the great thing is a lot of the games that I've worked have been close games, which you always want, you know, when the pitchers are pitching well and the batters are swinging the bat, it's a good time for everyone, you know, even if it does get contentious at times. Honestly, it's just been great for me to see these kids who may not get an opportunity, largely because Legion is so cost, you know, if you don't have the money, you can't play Legion. But with high school baseball, you know, anyone can join the team because it's a high school sport now. So that's been one of the best parts for me is seeing these kids that don't always get the opportunity to play, getting the chance to play.
Yeah, well, I want to toss the microphone over to you once again here in a second so that you can talk a little inside baseball from a sports perspective with our guest. But first, yeah, let's get the big picture here. Scott Wilson is the associate director for the Montana High School Association. Scott, great to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for asking me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, how exciting is this for you? I mean, once this first, I guess, give us the history on high school baseball in Montana and how this opportunity, what it took to finally make this happen, and how you see it expanding in the years ahead.
Okay, so we are in year three of the high school baseball, and kind of how any sport starts in our association is one of our member schools, you know, we have 182 member schools in the Montana High School Association, and one of the member schools has to make a proposal. We have an annual meeting that happens every January, and a school has to propose to our membership an addition of a sport. And so that was done for baseball. The membership passed it, and the next year we started off baseball with, you know, 24 teams. And so it, you know, is growing. As Caden said, it's up to 35. This year was our biggest year. You know, we've had, you know, the first group of schools that we're in have been in since the start of it. And then we added, you know, the schools this year to get us up to 35.
Yeah, and it's been kind of fun, too, you know, as I've been sitting at volleyball tournaments with one of my kids, with my daughter, it's fun running into different friends, old Army buddies, et cetera. And, you know, one of them, he lives down in the Red Lodge area, and so he was taught, you know, he's big into baseball. He's a Colstrip guy. And so it's interesting, you know, this year the Colstrip area, Carbon County kids are kind of teaming up with Columbus, for example, to create a combined team there. But eventually they'll probably break off and have more of a Carbon County specific team. So we're going to see more and more teams really get added into the equation here. This all class thing is what I find really fascinating as well, because small town, big town, combined teams, solo teams, you name it, everybody's all in the same dog pile.
Yeah, and that's definitely, you know, something that, you know, that was decided from the beginning, is to just run it as an all class. You know, we will have, you know, some decisions to make moving forward as a high school association, you know, to see. Ultimately, the goal for us with baseball is to end up kind of mirroring what softball does in our state, which we have a double-A conference, we have a class A conference, and then we have a BC conference. And so that's, you know, that's the ultimate goal, is as the sport continues, you know, to increase the number of teams playing. Right now, currently, we don't have official numbers yet in terms of, you know, official commitments yet, but right now it looks like that we have seven teams that are very interested in adding, and six of those teams are double A teams. And so, you know, our double A has definitely grown here over the last, you know, couple of years with the addition this year of the three Billings double A schools and the three Missoula double A schools.
Well, I'm going to toss it over to our producer, Caden Bjornstad here. Caden, yeah, you printed up for us here the schedule for tomorrow, the 2025 All-Class State Baseball Tournament, with four games kicking off Thursday. Man, we should have got you over there doing some play-by-play for some of our stations or something, because that'd be fun to see that.
Yeah, no, I never did play-by-play baseball, but definitely something I'd be down to do if the opportunity ever arose. Scott, you know, you mentioned nine teams on the books for next year. Hopefully, we heard a report this morning about the Great Falls schools still trying to bring in money to bring those baseball teams in. What's been some of the big challenges about getting schools to buy into having a baseball team?
I think the first challenge is that, you know, in terms of overall picture of school funding, is, you know, funding is tight with a lot of our schools across the state. So, you know, I think that that's probably the number one hurdle that schools have had to overcome. Some schools have been able to, you know, find the funding in their budgets to be able to add it, you know, and having the school fund the program. Some schools have elected to ask their local booster clubs to help fund that over either a year or up to a 3-year, you know, depending on, you know, what the decision is made, you know, by their local school boards. So I think that's probably the biggest hurdle. You know, Great Falls is, you know, that's when we don't have the final commitment, you know, as you just mentioned, you know, is that when you have towns that are working with their local booster club, you know, those funds have to come in before you can officially commit, you know, to the program. So That, and then I think our next biggest challenge that the schools have had to face is the actual field time and field space. You know, a lot of districts don't have a baseball facility on their school property, so they're using, you know, renting out, you know, city parks, you know, renting with their local Legion teams, things like that. So those are probably the two biggest hurdles that schools face when adding baseball.
Yeah, and, you know, going along that, here in Billings, we've been lucky because we have both Pertz and Dealer. Obviously, Dealer being where the Mustangs play here in Billings, and then Pertz, the local Legion school. But, you know, one of the big things coming into the NFHS that I've noticed over the last few years is the streaming of the games. And, you know, baseball, we got Game Changer that the teams are putting stats and sort of streaming on. Are there any plans for the MHSF to expand into not only streaming for baseball, but streaming across the state, across high school sports?
Well, we all, you know, with all of our sports, we have the NFHS network, and that's actually who, you know, will run our postseason events. So every one of the state baseball games will be streamed on the NFHS network, along with, you know, our state softball and our state track events. But that's, you know, that's the postseason piece. And then schools have the ability to stream on the NFHS network as well during the regular season. One of the things, the challenges that we had for streaming in softball and baseball was the locations of the fields, with them being, you know, in, like I said, city parks or Legion fields, things like that, not having the ability to stream those on the NFHS network. Our board just recently passed that those games could be streamed on a platform like Game Changer.
Interesting. Hold that thought for just a second. Scott and Caden, we're going to come back to both of them. We got to take a quick break here, shortest break of the hour, and back to Caden Bjornstedt along with Scott Wilson, the Associate Director of the Montana High School Association, right after this.
Need more of them.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, I would tell you to call in and jump in on the conversation, but our producer is in our studio right now, leading the conversation with the Montana High School Association as the state all-class baseball tournament gets underway tomorrow in Hamilton. And so before I toss it, so that being said, if you've got a quick question or a comment, send us a message right now on the Montana Talks app, and we'll try to sneak on your question or comment before we wrap up the hour today. And then tomorrow, we're going to have, well, Friday, you already heard, we're going to have Attorney General Austin Knutson on the show for the full hour. Tomorrow, we're going to have Democrat State Representative Jonathan Carlin and Republican Senate President Matt Regeer. You know, they joined us for a weekly legislative update throughout the legislative session. Well, now that the dust is settling on the legislative session, they're both going to join us tomorrow for the full hour, so that you can jump in on the conversation with both of them, talking about the legislature and what's getting signed into law and more. Speaking of our messages on our Montana Talks app, Bish in Billings just sent us a message. Howdy, Caden. You need to get your father on some days. So that was from Bish in Billings. Caden, let me throw it back to you and Scott Wilson.
Well, he might be listening, so I'll check in with him after we get off here and see what he thinks. But yeah, thanks Scott again for coming on with us today. You know, looking back at the season, we started back in the end of March. You know, the weather's been Montana weather. We've had snow, rain, everything in between. What's been some of the difficulties with playing baseball in a climate where the weather isn't really great enough until, you know, now as we enter the end of the school year?
Yeah, I think our biggest thing with baseball, you know, when it comes to the weather is obviously, you know, you have to expect that you're going to, you know, have some practices probably inside, you know, indoors in a gym or, you know, somewhere. And then you're also going to have some games that are rescheduled. And I think the biggest challenge that schools have with baseball is, you know, I'll compare it to softball. You know, when you play, you know, if you reschedule a softball game that was supposed to be, let's say, on Tuesday, you can probably say, hey, let's play it tomorrow, you know, the next day, Wednesday, even though I know we have a game Thursday and possibly Friday. With baseball, the schools have to keep in mind when they reschedule is, can there, you know, do they have enough pitchers that can, to, you know, keep up with the rules on pitch counts, you know, and so that is one of the big challenges, you know, that schools have to face with the reschedule. And then also, you know, as we grow as a sport, you know, with this number of schools, we're also, you know, each year we've added the number of umpires and also having umpire availability, you know, so, you know, I think our schools and our umpires did a great job this year. We had a lot of games that, you know, we ended up playing on Mondays and, you know, pretty much every day of the week except for Sunday, which is the only day we don't allow, you know, games to happen. But I think, you know, between the pitch counts, you know, making sure that that's a part of the equation and then making sure that we have umpires available are the two challenges.
Yeah, just touching on the pitch counts. For those that don't know, pitchers can only pitch a certain amount of pitches per game to help with their arm health. We don't want any of our youths getting injured, especially with baseball. Can be pretty taxing
on
the arm.
It's that different. So, yeah, Aaron Flint here jumping in. So, softball to baseball, it's that big of a difference because those gals throwing the softball are crazy good too. But even with the boys and the girls, there's that big of a difference in terms of pitcher burnout.
Yeah, well, if you think about it, softball, you're doing an underhand motion, so it's a lot less taxing on the arm, whereas baseball, you're going over the top. Now, there's some argument about whether throwing a baseball is a natural motion or not. You know, there's a bunch of research you can go in and look at that, but that's where, like, you get the Tommy John surgery is from throwing the ball too much, not resting properly and stuff like that. So,
interesting. Wow. Well, we got a couple more minutes to go. Caden, what else would you want to ask Scott here before we wrap up the hour, or vice versa? Scott, what do you want to tell folks across Montana before we run out of time? Go ahead, Caden.
Yeah, well, Scott, what was some of the best parts of the year from the administration standpoint?
Yeah, I think just watching, you know, like I mentioned earlier, we had a handful of schools that have been doing this for 3 years, and then watching the progression of the teams that were brand new this year has been exciting. Myself and the tournament manager, Travis Bloom in Hamilton, had a coaches meeting last night, and I told the coaches, you know, that this is great. You know, we have four schools that have been, you know, been there before, and then we have four brand new schools participating this year at state baseball. So I look forward to this part of it. You know, I think our play-in games was a good addition last year to try to get, you know, at least, you know, that chance if you have a conference that's a little bit stronger than the other one, you know, get another team to the state tournament. But I look forward to this weekend. I think it's, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of good baseball being played.
Yeah. Yeah, and then just real quick recap for those listening in, looking at the standings. Out of the north, the number one seed, Columbia Falls, they'll be taking on Billings Central in the first game of the tournament. And then out of the east, that's the Billings area, number one was Skyview. They beat out West over the run rule tiebreaker. And then West took the number two seed. Central won their play-in game to make it into the tournament. And then from the south, we have Frenchtown in the number one seed, followed by Hamilton and Missoula Big Sky, who also won their play-in game. And then from the central region is Belgrade in the number one seed. How does it look next year, as we got about 30 seconds left? How does it look next year with the double A being split off from the other divisions?
I think a lot will depend on, you know, if we end up with those schools, you know, actually adding. You know, that'll be a discussion will take place this summer. Each, you know, we'll have a meeting with those classifications and hopefully make a decision going forward. So,
all right.
You know,
well, Scott Wilson, we greatly appreciate your time. Have fun with the tournament starting tomorrow. Caden Bjornstedt, great job as always. Great to have you behind the microphone. Thanks for being with us.